Thank you, sir. It's good to be back. I like being here. I feel younger when I'm here. I am younger. I'm 53. I am 1 month away from being 54, so I think at 55 you have to start acting your age. Until that, you're good. So you're in a series right now talking about God and some of the different names of God, and I'm sort of skipping out of that talk, but sort of not. So we're going to talk about how God talks to you and how he wants to connect with you. And so we're going to talk today about one of the bonuses of being a follower of Jesus is that God's Spirit wants to connect with you and wants to talk to you and manage your life for you and communicate to you and to warn you and protect you and to do all those neat kind of things. So that's going to be our theme, and we're going to just breeze through. We're going to talk about three things in which Jesus, how God communicated to him, and we'll look at a couple of the passages as well from some other people in the Bible as well. So we are going to talk. Do you see that? Did everyone see that? That's how it's going. Can make you motion sick if I want to. So, how does God talk to us? And there's just enough of that. Is this going to be distracting? Should I go back to PowerPoint? Alrighty. So, you're not used to this. So, how does God talk to us? There are. Enough, please. I'm glad I didn't add any video or in the Bible, there is just a whole bunch of different ways that God communicates to us. All of your natural senses have a spiritual component that God's able to help you. God's able to use touch. He's able to use thoughts. He's able to use feelings. He's able to use all those different kind of things. How many of you get dreams? Like it's a God dream. You know God's communicating to you, okay? How many hear voices? Like good voices. Okay? So in the Bible, every single personality, that's talked about in a positive sense, heard from God in some way. And they knew that it was God talking to them, and their life was able to be enhanced, and they were able to do the things that God was looking for them to do because they were able to communicate with God and hear from him. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to just take you to a passage in Acts chapter 16 that sort of introduces this facet of, well, how do you figure out what God's doing? So you remember Paul. He's one of the apostles. He wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. And he is on one of his missionary journeys in modern-day Turkey, and he's looking to go from Istanbul north. And you remember, like, it's right there on the, the Black Sea? Whatever that water is. And he's looking to go north into what would be Yugoslavia, Romania, into that part of Eastern Europe. And this is what it says. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That's an interesting little phrase where it says that the Holy Spirit stopped him from preaching the gospel. Have you come across that before? The Holy Spirit would not let him across the border. It doesn't say why or how, but somehow he felt that God's Spirit was saying, don't go. You get that? So he does not have an airplane ticket. He doesn't have trains. He doesn't have that kind of stuff. So on the express donkey he gets, or the express walking, or whatever he's doing, and he goes to a whole different area, which would be weeks, months, to get there. And it says when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them. So this is two times where the Bible says that Paul was stopped from going someplace that he wanted to go, and no further description. So like when I get to heaven, it's like, okay, what happened? Did you not fill in the visa forms properly? You got denied at the border? Was the bridge out? You know, just washed away? Did you not have the cash to get on the ferry? Like, what happened here? Did you get a dream? How did God stop him? And it doesn't say, but it does say that the Holy Spirit was in this and stopped him. Now, Paul's a little bit of a stubborn guy, and it would appear that he's going, okay, God, where? And that very night, it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him. So this is Greece. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding, that God's called him to preach the gospel there. So that was pretty easy, wasn't it? After undisclosed, you can't get here, can't get into that country, can't go here, and all of a sudden he gets a dream, and it's real clear in his dream. This guy's waving his hands. Hey, over here, we're Greeks, come on. And he wakes up and he goes, I think we're supposed to go to Greece. And they go, okay, off we go. So they take a boat and go west. And it's like, I love this kind of stuff in the Bible. I wish it would be a little bit more explicit as to the first couple of things, like how he got stopped. But the fact is that God was directing him and helping him to get to the exact right place. So God was also stopping him, yes?
Yeah.
And giving, perhaps even warning him of stuff to take place. I had a friend of mine, I do have a friend, his name is Jim Paul, he's a pastor of a church in Hamilton, and he's very prophetic. And he prophesied while he was in Japan a few years ago that there's going to be an earthquake. And the very second that his airplane that he's on leaving Tokyo took off, an earthquake hit. Not this last one, a few years ago. And it's like the plane's going down the tarmac, there's an earthquake and off in the air. He goes, like, that's pretty cool, isn't it? When those kind of things happen, when actually God sort of gives you some warnings and some preparation of different things that are getting ready to take place. There's a passage in Luke that quite often we read around Christmas time, and it's about a guy named Simeon. And it says, now there was in Jerusalem a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, means he loves God, and the Holy Spirit was on him. That's good, isn't it? The Holy Spirit to be with you. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. So somehow, and it doesn't say how, God had put into his spirit, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. You're going to see this amazing person that all of creation has been waiting for. You're going to see him. Yes? The only problem is he's getting old. And as he's getting older, I don't know what's going on in his head. But it goes on and says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. So I don't know where he was in Jerusalem. On this one particular day, he feels that the Holy Spirit is moving him. And so he just finds himself going this place. And he's in the temple courts. And while he's there, he sees this new young couple holding a little baby, eight-day-old baby. And he goes up to this couple, and it turns out to be Mary and Joseph. And he sees the baby, and it turns out to be Jesus. It turns out to be the Messiah. Isn't that cool? When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, and he gives a prophetic word. And here's one of the amazing things, is when you find yourself in the right place at the right time, get ready for God to use you. Get ready for more supernatural just to burst out. And so this guy is there, and while he's there, now he's getting prophetic words over this baby and over Mary and Joseph. And the other cool thing is, right on his heels of doing that, a godly lady, it says, who was a widow for like 60 years. She's in her 80s. I think it's 84 years of age, this lady is. And she comes in at that very moment. And she finds Mary and Joseph and Jesus as well and prophesies over them again. It's like, oh my goodness. Aren't you glad? Or wouldn't you think, not aren't you glad, but wouldn't you be glad if you're Mary and Joseph? You got an 8-day-old baby. You're out of towners. You've never been to Jerusalem before, probably. And two people come over, a little bit old, but that's okay. And then just read your mail and talk to you about this baby. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I think you'd be going away from the temple that day going, I think God's big. I think God knows who I am. I think God cares for me. Yes? All those good kind of things. So again, there's a little bit of ambiguity as to how do you get moved by the Holy Spirit. I don't always take Mondays off, but a few years ago I was taking a Monday off. I tend to work Mondays because everyone thinks I take Monday off, and so no one calls the office, which is really cool. I mean, get my work done. I usually take Saturday off. So anyway, this particular Monday, we're just hanging around doing nothing, and I had this thought, and I do not know it's a God thought. It's just a thought. Sandra, let's go to the Dixie Valley Mall. Now, that is not a guy thought. And I don't know, I live in Mississauga, Bloor-Dixie area, so Dixie Value Mall is not too far away. It's a discount mall. Anyone been Dixie Value Mall?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay, but it's like, it's a little ghetto sometimes. Yes? Yes? Sometimes. They don't even have a good coffee shop there. So anyways, it was like, oh, I don't normally like going to malls. And so Sandra was very happy. We get in the car and we go. And almost always, like Saturday nights, it's just shocking how many times we get to a mall and there's parking right in front of the door. Now that's because we get there before the mall opens, but that's a joke. Anyways, this particular time, I'm being a little stubborn. And I'm trying to get that spot right, and I'm driving around, and Santa goes, "Steve, let's just stop, get out, let's walk." So turn up one road, go down the other, and first spot that comes open, I pull into it, and just when we get out of the car, a lady is about to get into the car right beside us. She's from our church. And she says, "Oh, Steve, Sandra, can I talk to you guys?" And it's like, okay, that's why we're at the mall. Had nothing to do about shopping. You understand how that works? You've probably had those kind of experiences where you just thought, okay, let's just go to the mall, let's do this. And when you got there, all of a sudden you found out, actually, God preempted you. And I was being moved by the Spirit without knowing that I was being moved by the Spirit. I just happened to be in the right place. So we didn't have to go shopping after all, just went out. Sat in that little coffee area, you know, the poor coffee shop area, and off we went. Alrighty. Did you see the feet there? Did you see we're being led by the Spirit to get it? Okay, there we go. There we go. So I want to just give you an example of some of the different ways, like some of the unusual ways that people are led by the Spirit. So there's this amazing story about this woman who has the bleeding for 12 years. Remember that story? She's having her menstrual period 12 years straight. Not a good deal. And the Bible says she spent all of her money, she's still in pain, she's dirt poor, just all these negative things that are happening. And she comes up and touches Jesus. Remember that story? And Jesus turns around and said, "Who touched me?" Do you remember that? Who touched me? And what does everyone say? Like, you're crazy, everyone's touching you. Like if we had a celebrity in the room. Yeah, of course you'd touch her. That one, for sure. But like, let's say that, you know, someone, let's just pick on, you know, someone that's a TV person or whatever. And everyone would be going up, maybe not everyone, maybe if you're cool you wouldn't be going up, but a whole bunch of us would be going up, "Hey, I saw you on TV, hey, can I get your autograph," all that kind of stuff. Well, that's happening to Jesus. And in the middle of everybody touching him, he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" He knew that someone just got healed. And he persevered until this lady poked her head out and said, "It was me." How did he know that a miracle took place? Because he felt power. He felt something in his body that God gave him a clue that God just did a miracle. And if any of you pray for people long enough, especially you're praying for healing, as you're touching people, sometimes you just get a power surge or a power dip. And it's happened to me a lot of times. And it's sort of cool because I can pretend that I'm showing off here. I know what I'm doing. And I go, "Okay, check yourself. You've just been healed." And they go, "What do you mean you've just been healed?" "I know. Check yourself." And they go, "Ooh, how did you know that?" "You know." I felt power. I felt stuff happening in my body. And God's going, "This is how I'm talking to you." I love that kind of stuff because people think you're better. People think that they, you know, I know what I'm doing. No, I just know that there's some little hints in the Bible. And if Jesus did it, I can do it. Yes? So let's talk about the three primary ways that God talked to Jesus. And I want to remind you that Jesus, when he chose to be born as a little child, as a baby, he took all of his God powers and put them in storage. He left them, would appear, in heaven. And even though he's the divine Son of God, he chose to function on planet Earth as a human being. Yes? That's absolutely what the Bible teaches. And so if you thought that Jesus, when he was on planet Earth, was omniscient, you're wrong. If you thought he was all-knowing, is that the same thing? Omniscient, omnipotent, the presence, all those different kind of things. That is not true. This last passage, I just proved it to you. If he's God, he not only knows who touched him, but they're about to touch you now. And he didn't know that. Philippians chapter 2 is the clearest passage. It says that even though he was God, he chose not to function in his God qualities, put them off to the side, and chose to live like you and me. Yes? Let me ask you a question. Does a supernatural God need to be anointed? No. Anointing is for people who aren't supernatural. And Jesus, the Bible says, was anointed at his baptism. And then he began to do good things in healing everybody who was under the power of the enemy. And so Jesus, when he was functioning on planet Earth, was functioning just like you and me. So how did he do miracles? How did he do healings? He did all those things because of a Father in heaven who was communicating to him and telling him what to do. And 7 times in John's Gospel, Jesus says something like this: I can do nothing by myself. If my Father doesn't help me, nothing's happening. Did you know that? So that gives me a lot of confidence. It's like, okay, if God doesn't show up, nothing happens. Or if God tells me stuff, okay, we may be up for something here. So when I do get dreams, when I do get thoughts, when I do get stuff, it's like, okay, I can expect maybe something supernatural to take place here because God's communicating to me. So the first most common thing was Jesus did what he saw. And there's a passage in John chapter 5, Jesus says this: I tell you the truth, the Son can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing by himself. This is one of those passages. And this passage is an interesting one. John chapter 5 is the story of Jesus going into Jerusalem, and there's 7 pools, and one of those pools, the people had a tradition that an angel would come, stir the water up, first people in the pool get healed. Remember that story? And there's a lame guy that's there. And the story, as you read it, Jesus went in, he's looking around, and he finds one guy. He goes over to a lame guy in the corner. And he says to him, what do you want? Do you want to get healed? The guy goes, well, of course I do, but, you know, everyone else gets in there before me. Well, Jesus should have smacked him on the side of the head. Because if you really want to be healed and you're lame, you should have 2 feet in the pool ready to just lean forward and fall in. Should you not? Rather than being over by the wall. And so it's a legitimate question that Jesus asks him. And Jesus healed the guy. He springs up, he's walking, and Jesus said, take your mat and go home. He picks up his mat, he's heading home, and the police arrest him. They go, you're breaking the law. It's the Sabbath today. It's the Saturday. You're not allowed to carry a mat. That's considered work. And he goes, hey, it's not my fault. The guy who healed me told me to do that. Well, who was it? I never did get a good look at him. And the police, because they're smart, they're going, you know what? Jesus just around the corner. I bet it's him. They walk around the corner, and here's what they say. They go to Jesus and say, there are 6 good days of the week to do miracles. How come you're always doing it on the Saturday? And do you know what his answer is? Right here. My daddy showed me a picture. I'm just doing what my daddy told me. I saw this guy. Now, I don't know if he saw him in a dream, and that's why when he walks in, he's looking around, but there he is. Or he just had a flash picture as he's walking by. I don't know. But some point in the past, he had a picture of this guy, and when he's by that area, he's going, oh, yeah, I remember. I wonder if that guy's here. And he walks in. Oh, my goodness, there he is. And he went to one guy because God showed it to him. And a whole bunch of you are wired to see things in the spirit. You get dreams, you get visions. Your parents may have even mocked you for daydreaming. But God wired you that way because God's trying to get a hold of you. God's trying to talk to you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You can just see things. I have an acquaintance of a guy named John, and he's with Jesus now. But he was flying first class one day in a jumbo jet, those 747s. And you know the bubble part at the very beginning of the front of the airplane? Upstairs is where the first class people are. And he's sitting on an aisle. I've never been up in the bubble, by the way. Never been there. Anyone been in the bubble? None of us. Have you? Serious? Oh. To Australia. That's a long way to go. Oh, okay. We'll get you autographed afterwards. So this guy, John, is sitting in the aisle, and just after they take off, you know, he's sort of looking around, and he sees the guy right across from him in the aisle, and there's a lady beside him, and he looks over and he sort of does a double take, because on the guy's forehead he sees the word Judy. And he sort of gets the guy's attention, leans over and goes, "Who's Judy?" And they went back to the bar. The guy goes, "Come with me." He goes back to the bar and goes, "What do you know about Judy?" "Well, tell me who Judy is." "I'm having an affair." "Well, who's the lady beside you?" "That's my wife." "So she, does she know about Judy?" "No." "How do you know about Judy?" "Well, what would you say?" John doesn't know that he's being set up for a miracle. All he sees is a word. He goes, "Who's Judy?" He led that guy to the Lord right there at the back of the airplane in the bar. And told the guy, "You need to go tell your wife." And so the guy brings his wife back. And John tells the story and says, "I saw the word Judy, and your husband has something to tell you." And he confessed, and she got saved right there in the back of the airplane. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So some of you are wired to do those kind of supernatural things, and you don't know when it's going to happen. That's the cool thing. You just don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know that Jesus knew as he's walking in. It's like, oh, I don't know. But he saw something, and his excuse when the police said, "Why are you doing this?" is, "Well, I just do what my Father shows me." That's pretty cool. The number two thing is Jesus did what he heard. And so Jesus heard voices. Actually, he heard a voice. And it's his Father. And further on in this passage, because people are really upset when he says that, and there's this whole debate and teaching that's going on, and Jesus follows up by saying, "By myself I can do..." Do you see the theme here? If God doesn't help him, nothing's going on. But if God's helping him, okay, now we're into the supernatural. "I judge only as I hear, for I see not to please myself, but him who sent me." And there's a number of different, I think there's three different passages in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, "I only do what I see my Father showing me." Sorry. "I hear my Father showing me." So this is about the words, the thoughts, the ideas that come into your head. And sometimes you're going to hear an inner audible voice. That's sort of where it sounds like you heard something out loud, and yet really it was just you. No one else heard it. I don't know if I told you this. The very first time that happened to me, I was at Baptist Church, where my brother was the pastor. This is 1992, and this is before the revival begins. I'm a very conservative Baptist pastor. I do not believe that God speaks. In fact, I rebuke people in our church and teach them God does not talk anymore. He's on sabbatical. He's going to talk in the book of Revelation, but we're not there yet. So, like, God does not talk. And if you're thinking you're hearing voices, it's demons. And the sad thing was I didn't even believe the demons were real. But that was my thing. Until I met my sister-in-law. My brother Richard's the pastor of Running Man Baptist Church at this time. And my sister-in-law, Terry, has invited me to go to a training day, the training day there with a guy named David Bruce, who's a worship leader. He used to be a Vineyard guy. He still is a Vineyard guy in Los Angeles. And David and his wife, Anita, are leading this teaching on the prophetic, and I know nothing about the prophetic. So I'm just there, and I'm there with my co-pastor. His name is John Frio. We're at a Baptist church in Mississauga. And we're, you know, it's good. It's okay. I'm being stretched a lot. I'm not sure that I believe everything that they're saying. And after lunch, David says, "There's this African pastor that's getting ready to start a church, and any of you that have words for him, come on up to the front." And so like four or five people go up, and they're ministering, and I'm just sitting in the seat like everyone else is. And in the middle of it, I hear this out loud voice that says, "Tell John and Ann Frio, this time next year they're going to have a baby." And I'm looking around him, like, John's right there. He's acting as if nothing just happened. And I walked back to my sister-in-law, Terry, and said, "I think I just heard God." "Well, what did he say?" "Well, he said, John and Ann are going to have a baby next year." And she goes, "Oof, I don't know." Because John and Ann are my best friends and are infertile. John's around 40, Ann's probably about 37 at this time. And they've been trying to have a baby. They've been to fertility clinics and all that kind of stuff. And the doctors are just saying, "I don't know, but no." And to tell him this and I'm wrong is like, oh my goodness, that would really hurt. And so I said, okay, well, I won't say anything. And she goes, no, you have to say it. And it's like, but you just said not to. And it's like, well, I'm not going to, but you have to. It's like, So I decide to chicken out. I'm going to get another comment. And so I go home and tell my wife, Sandra. And again, we're just new to this kind of stuff. Like, this has never happened to me before. And I tell Sandra, and she goes, oh, no, you can't say that. And it's like, good, I didn't think so. And she goes, no, well, you have to, but I'm not. Same sort of thing. So it's now, that's now like Sunday night, or sorry, Saturday night. So Sunday is church, and I'm smart enough, I'm the assistant pastor of the church. I understand that you don't drop a bomb before the meeting. If you're going to drop something big, you talk to the pastor afterwards, before the meeting. You know, they're trying to get in the zone with God and plan their jokes and all that kind of stuff. And so after the meeting, I'm talking to John and Ann, and they're both there, and I give 5 minutes of the disclaimer. Well, this has never happened to me before, and I don't know, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and just 5 minutes of giving excuses. What is it? Well, okay. Do you remember yesterday, John, when they were praying for that African guy? Yeah. Well, I actually thought I heard God talk to me and say, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. Anne starts to cry. I shouldn't have said anything. And then John says, but what time do you think that was? And I'm going, well, it was 2 o'clock when we came back from lunch, maybe at 2:15, 2:20. And he goes, yeah, 2:15, Ann got a phone call yesterday afternoon. We're pregnant. And I go, I did not know it. And it was like, that's probably the only time that I've heard that loud a voice. I've heard whispers before, but this was loud. So does God do that kind of stuff with you? Absolutely does. Maybe not a loud voice, but it could be just a whisper. It could be a thought that comes into your head. The third thing, and my apologies because this doesn't say it right. It's supposed to be Jesus only did what he was taught. And so the scripture verse is this. I do nothing on my own. I speak just what the Father has taught me. And so this is where your spirit knows it, and you know, but you don't know why. A whole bunch of you are like that. For those of you that are getting married, this is one of the frustrating things for guys, is having discussions with your wife, planning stuff, making decisions, and I'd say to Sandra, I think we should do this, this, and this based on this, this, and this, and she goes, yeah, I don't think so. And it's like, no, this is logical, and she goes, no. Like, why not? Yeah, I don't know, but just no. It's like, well, like, give me a reason. She goes, I can't. Well, like, and my wife is one of these people that's just wired that she just knows when something's right, when something's wrong. She's very cautious on different things. I've given my wife Sandra because she's a knower. Like her spirit knows. God's spirit has talked to her spirit. And by the way, your spirit's more important than your brain. Did you know that? In the book of Corinthians, chapter 14, I think it is, Paul says that when we speak in tongues, different languages, that our head's going, this is stupid, this is crazy, this is ridiculous. But our spirit's going, oh, this is wonderful. And God's spirit connects with our spirit when we're speaking in a prayer language. And our brain's on a picnic right then. Like, it's going, I'm not included. Can someone tell me what's going on? And what that says is that your spirit, God speaks to your spirit at a higher dimension than he does to your brain. And many of us, our brain is our enemy. Like our brain wants to have it all figured out. And God doesn't just talk logic. He does talk logic, but he doesn't just talk logic. He also talks spirit. And sometimes it's just a knowing. And it's just like, okay, this is the way it is. So here's the deal. Every single one of us is wired like this to be able to hear God in some of these different areas. So these are the three big ones. You get pictures, you get thoughts, impressions, and your heart just knows. And I want to say that you're not crazy if you're getting this kind of stuff. You are actually a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not tuning into God, we have a problem. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So you're either not a sheep which is not really a good idea, and sheep means a follower of Jesus, or you haven't learned to tune into God. That was the one verse that kicked me over the edge from being a person who didn't believe in the supernatural to a person who did believe in the supernatural. That one little verse, my sheep hear my voice, Gospel of John. And I realized some of you guys are way too young, but it used to be in a car, you didn't push buttons for your radio. You had a dial. Any of you seen those antiques? Yeah, your parents had those cars. And you had to turn the dial for the radio. And sometimes as you're driving at night, especially going over hills and valleys, you'd have to retune it because it was nearer, it's in and out and all that kind of stuff. And that's what it is with hearing God's voice and knowing how God speaks to you. At the beginning, it's like, okay, I'm not getting it, I'm not sure. And once you begin to realize, well, this is the predominant way that God talks to me, now you're ready. And because you have a loving Father in heaven, He wants to set you up for good. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. At the airport campus, one of my buddies, his name's Rob Shaw. Rob, you can pick Rob out because he wears jeans, a jean shirt, and a jean jacket every year for the last 9 years. He's a roofer. He's a super salesman for Avenue Road Roofing and just got his favors on the guy. And Rob got saved when he was like 40 years of age, so that would be like 14 years ago. And he came to our church, and the reason he came to our church was because his girlfriend walked out of his life. And he phoned his mom to complain, and his mom said, well, you should go to that church by the airport. She's in Vancouver. So he finds himself at our church on a Friday night, and laughs. The guy who's speaking that night is Peter Jackson. And if you know Peter Jackson, Peter laughs for the first half hour. For no reason. He's just up there, something's funny, and he's not telling you what's going on. And he's just laughing and trying to talk, and he's laughing. And it's a little bizarre for the first time you see it. And he's there for one of those, like, why did my mom want me here? And Peter said, if you'd like to be a follower of Jesus, come to the front. And his feet start walking, and his head's going, what are we doing? And anyways, he became a follower of Jesus that night. He filled in one of the little cards, and the Holy Spirit talked to him that weekend and said, you need to find a brand new follower of Jesus and just help him to grow. And so Rob and I had breakfast at Fran's restaurant in downtown Toronto on Monday. And every Monday after that, probably about 40 Mondays out of the next year, we had breakfast together on Mondays, and I just helped him become a follower of Jesus. Within about 6 weeks of him being a follower of Jesus, he's decided that he's going to go back to India. I didn't tell you what Rob's profession was before he became a roofer. Rob used to be an international smuggler of weapons, jewelry, and drugs. And he realized that most people, when they get to 40, are either dead or in jail. And so he's quit that job. And when he became a follower of Jesus, he's going, okay, Steve, I got all this jewelry here that's, like, what do I do with it? It's like, well, my wife would like some emeralds, please. And I told him, I said, how about you find the widows in our church and the single moms, and why don't you go around and give them some jewelry? And that's what he did. So all these ladies got emeralds, they got all sorts of different things. It was amazing. He was very, very popular with the ladies. He's since met a girl named Heidi in our church, and they're married and have an 8-year-old girl, and all's good. But within 6 weeks of him becoming a follower of Jesus, he decides to go back to India, where he used to get a lot of his drugs and that kind of stuff, and he had a base in India. And he knew that God had talked to him while he was in India to start an orphanage. And so he wants to go back, and there's a mission trip from our church, and so he joins the team. And while he's there, he just buys an orphanage, or sort of buys a school, takes it over, ends up buying a hospital. Like, money's not the same deal in India, so you don't have to have a lot of money to start getting into things like that. So he's got a few thousand dollars saved up from his nefarious background. Buys a hospital. And so the second time he's there, maybe a follower of Jesus, 3 months, and the Holy Spirit says, you know what, it's probably better, instead of you taking cabs everywhere, that you had a motorcycle. And he goes, I think that would be a good idea. Where am I going to get a motorcycle? And the Holy Spirit says, well, if you go to such and such restaurant at 12 noon, sit at the first table by the door, I'll get you a motorcycle. Wow. That's what he thought. The idea that came to his head. And he goes, okay. And so he went, sat there, God walks in, looks straight at him, and says, "Do you need a motorcycle?" "Yep, here's the keys." That's how Rob lives. That's cool, isn't it? Every one of us is wired to be able to hear God. And when you begin to hear him, and then the big one is, in the book of James, it says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. That's the hard part. Because sometimes it's really stretching. Yes? Like really stretching, like hard. Your friends are going to think you're an idiot stretching. Yes? That's the rub right there. I'd like every one of you that sees in the spirit. You get dreams, you get visions, and you know that God's talking to you. Maybe see forehead things. You just see things. Can I get you to stand up? Because we want to bless you and say you're right on. Well, look at this. This is cool. Did you think that you were alone? Did you think that you were the weird one? Well, look around. You got weird friends. Alrighty. Those of you that are seated, can I get you folks, if you're seated, to just put your hand on one of these guys or girls? Actually, you probably need to put two hands on them. Because there's, I think, more people standing than there are sitting down. So, if you're on your seat, you can just move around and pray for people. I think there's probably, you just need to put your own hand on someone beside you because there's a lot of us. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you that you have wired these guys and gals to be able to see. And I just want to bless you and say you're not on the lunatic fringe. You are on the faith fringe. You're in the area of the supernatural. And if God is communicating to you, it's because he's got good things to tell you for yourself, for others. He's got warnings there for you. He's got provision ideas for you. Your Father in heaven loves you so much, he's going to make it easy for you. And he's got a pathway for you, and he's going to help you to get there. And Father, I thank you that these young adults already know that this is how God talks to them. And I want to bless you to take those things serious. And when you know it's a God thing, to write it down, to do your best to be a doer. And I bless you to walk out the things that God says to you, things that God shows you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated unless you're a hearer. And you can stand for more than one. So if you get thoughts, if you get whispers, if you know that God's talking and you can hear God, can I get you to stand up? Okay, same deal. If you're sitting down, lay hands on a couple people, put your hand on their shoulder. This is your first time here. This is what we do, friends. We're not a church where the Jordan and Noel do all the ministry. We're a church where everybody does this stuff because every one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, has the Holy Spirit in us. So, Father, we bless these guys and gals, and we bless your ears. We bless you to hear what God is saying. And we bless fine-tuning to take place, like Dolby sound system. Like just really good kind of speakers that your ears are just picking up everything that God's saying. And may you have, not just hear the words, but may you understand what God's trying to communicate to you. May you have wisdom, not just knowledge, but wisdom as to, okay, God, what was that about? What was this about? And Father, I'm asking that your voice would be clear, not confusing, and that as your children, we would just be able to follow after you, that we could be led by your Spirit. And Daddy, we thank you that Jesus was like this. This is how Jesus functioned. He just had thoughts, and he knew it was from you, and he just said it, and oh my goodness, a miracle just happened. Someone just got healed. So Father, thank you that you've wired these men and women to be like this. And we bless you and say, well done, keep on going. In Jesus' name. May be seated. Those of you who have a knower, I don't know where your knower is, but you just know that you know stuff. Stand up. Okay, same deal. If you're sitting down, touch a couple people that are standing. Can you do that? Just look around. Put your hand on someone's shoulder. Close your eyes, folks. Father, I want to bless these people that are standing for this in this category. And Daddy, in one sense, this one's a little bit harder because they don't always have reasons for what they know. And I bless you to not give in to what your mind would say, to say, well, if I can't figure it out, it must not be true. And I want to bless you that the supernatural doesn't always make sense. That's why it's called supernatural. And I want to bless you to persevere when you're trying to explain something to your friends, to your cellular, to your pastor, to whoever, parents. And you're trying to explain why you're about to do something or why you have to stop doing something. And I want to bless you to have perseverance and not to give up, for you to hold on to the Word of God, to value what God said, to not despise the Word of God. Father, I thank you that these are finely tuned supernatural beings that you've made this group of people. That we're able to walk in the Spirit, we're able to be led by the Spirit, you're able to reveal stuff to us, you're able to share secrets with us. And Daddy, we're just like the people in the Bible. They're just like us, ordinary people who have an amazing Father in heaven, an amazing God. And Father, we thank you that there's benefits of being a follower of Jesus. And Daddy, bless these ones that are standing right now. Bless every single person in this room. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. One more prayer we'd like to pray. I've been talking to people who are followers of Jesus. And it would be wrong of me to exclude those of you that maybe haven't become a follower of Jesus yet, and not to give you a chance to sort of jump in and experience all this kind of stuff. And if you're here today and you know a little bit about Jesus, maybe you used to be a follower of Jesus or just have no idea what it means, can I just encourage you that even though you may be having dreams right now and ideas and thoughts, you're just in black and white right now. When you become a follower of Jesus, your spirit just absolutely is transformed, and all of a sudden it's stereo. It's high definition, LCD, plasma, everything. It's like, everything just gets on a steroids enhanced, oh my goodness, God's with me. And if you're here today and you saw all your friends, maybe not friends, but people that are here, and you saw them standing up and recognizing that God talks to them, this is reality. Like, we didn't just gather 100 crazy people today. Well, we sort of did. And I'm the leader. Yeah. Jesus died so that you could enter into a whole other dimension. It's really hard to talk about sin because it's not politically correct to talk about that, but the word is in the dictionary. And sin is not just things that you do, it's not just things you say. In fact, the most damning sin is an attitude that says, I'm okay the way I am. And the whole Bible was written for people who think that they're okay the way they are. And the truth is that you've been blinded. Just like horses, the race horses, they have blinders on their eyes so they can only see ahead, they can't be distracted by what's going on beside them. You've got some spiritual blinders that an enemy that you didn't even realize is an enemy has put over your eyes. And there comes this moment when if you say, well, I'd like to actually see what's real, I'd like to know what's right, and truth comes in a relationship with Jesus. And when you invite Jesus to be part of your life, oh my goodness, it's like I can remember what it was like. I used to be full of fear of dying. Like just paranoid by it. And the moment I gave my life to Jesus, it was like that just went. It just left because all of a sudden truth was now there. That I didn't have to worry about that. And if I did die, well, I'm going to be with Jesus. Didn't have to worry about those kind of things. And the Bible says that Jesus took your place and my place on a cross. And all the things that you and I deserve for all the stuff that we've thought and said and done, he goes, I died for people like you. And if you're thinking you're good enough, well, Jesus didn't die for people who are good enough. Jesus died for people who said, I need a savior. I need a doctor. I need someone to help me. And It's just a very simple thing, and yet it's not a simple thing. It's the simplest thing to say, I choose to follow Jesus, but it actually is going to cost you your life, in a good sense. And to give your life and say, okay, God, if you're real, I'd like you to be the one who guides me. I'd like you to be my manager. Did you know that rich people don't plan their schedule? This poor Kate Middleton girl, not poor Kate Middleton, I think she's probably making some money right now, but she's getting ready to become a princess. She has lost control of her diary. Other people are planning her schedule, and she's got things that she doesn't know about that are already planned by managers. Yes? That's the reality. And rich people have managers. Jesus would like to be your manager. And he's not going to rip you off. He's not going to make it hard. He's going to put you on the best journey that's ever possible. So I'd like to conclude tonight by having you join me in a prayer. For those of you who have never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, okay, I'm in. I understand it. I get it. I'd like to become a follower of Jesus. And if you're reconnecting with Jesus, same deal. That be all right? So how about we stand one more time and just close your eyes with me. And the prayer that I'm going to say, I'd like you to repeat after me. And it's just like a summary of all the things that the Bible says. So let's say this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I'm acknowledging my need of you. I have done some bad stuff. I've had some really evil thoughts. Said things I shouldn't have said. And even one of those things would send me to hell. That's not what I want. And I believe that Jesus died for me. He took my punishment so that I could go free. That's what I want. I want to be with God forever. Starting today. And I invite Jesus to come into my life. I invite His Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to talk to me. Take me on an amazing adventure. I give my life to you today. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer and you meant it, God heard you. God heard you. If you said that prayer, I want you just to think, not even think, to feel what's happening in your chest right now. What's your heart doing right now? What are you feeling right now inside? Try to put some words to that. My guess is that if you just prayed that prayer, that your heart's pumping in a different way. You're feeling emotions that you've never felt before. Good things. And what that's called is the Spirit of God coming into you and connecting with your spirit. And letting you know that you know that you know you have a Savior and His life was just traded for yours, and you're bound for heaven. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Very, very cool. Can I be bold?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. I just needed someone to say that. If you've never prayed that kind of prayer ever in your life, or if you have prayed that prayer before, and you're like reconnecting to God, can I get you to put your hand up and down in like 3 seconds? Can I get you to do that? Never prayed that kind of prayer before? Hands up so I can see where you are. Nothing big. Yes, no, anyone? You know what, if that felt really uncomfortable, put your hand up. Because I know what that's like, well, I sort of know what it's like. I ask people to do it all the time. Because part of being a follower of Jesus is sort of coming out of the closet. Not in a gay sort of way, but in a God sort of way. Is to declare yourself. And just to say, and not be ashamed to say, you know what, I'm choosing to be a follower of Jesus. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be good. Well, if you felt uncomfortable, put your hand up. I'm going to be sticking around for a few minutes and come up and talk to me. Talk to Pastor Jordan. That'd be good. Jordan, do you want to dismiss people with your papal benediction?
Papal benediction of... Hold up your chairs and put them alongside. Now, I want to pray for you guys quickly before we go. But then, yes, please, fold up your chairs, put them off to the side. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, go a couple doors down to the Red Room. That's where we usually head for food. It's a good place. God, just bless everything that you've done in this place tonight. Thank you so much for the fact that you do speak to us, whatever way that is. And I just pray that you would just unstop our ears, our spiritual ears, unstop our eyes, that we would hear that more and more and more. Just bless everything that you're doing in our body. In this body of this church, Papa. Just keep blessing that, keep growing that, and take that. Yeah, just grow that as we go out of this place tonight as well, Papa. Even I ask that tonight you'd start to stir in people's hearts things that you're speaking to them and asking them to act on. Bless you, Central. We love you. Please pull up your chairs and make your way outside quickly.